Davey D hanging out with you this afternoon. We're in the city of Atlanta, Georgia. We're here at the ACLU Snitch Conference, and sitting in front of me is one of the people who helped put this together. He's well known in Texas, in particular Austin and East Texas. His name is Casey. Casey Carter is what they call him, and he's the head of Hip Hop Against Police Brutality. Not only is it an organization and a movement, but it's also a radio show as well. And we wanted to welcome you to the show. How you doing?
Hey, what's up? What's up, Davey, man? Yeah, I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to be interviewed, man. And like I'm saying, you know, this was just a real good conference today. Having, you know, folks from, you know, the best from, and the best and the brightest from all different segments. You know, we had, you know, hip hop artists here and advocates and professors and you know, organizers and the whole nine. So yeah, it's good to be here.
First of all, tell me a little bit about this Hip Hop Against Police Brutality. It seems to fall in line with a lot of the other movements that I'm seeing around the country, whether it's the Dread Eye movement in Seattle or One Hood in Pittsburgh or the PLCC in Chicago and Oakland. And, you know, it seems like a lot of people who are in the hip-hop community are aggressively organizing against police brutality in the backdrop, of course, of, you know, the Sean Bell decision. Tell me about how you guys are falling into line with all these various movements.
Well, basically, no, we use that same premise that hip hop is that platform and that vehicle to organize, right? To organize off of, and to use hip hop as that vehicle to organize communities of color and young people around these issues, racial profiling, police misconduct, and, you know, and in this case, you know, snitching and informants work. So, I mean, it definitely falls in line as seeing, you know, hip hop and the potential of hip hop to be that political social justice movement.
Tell me, what's the situation like in Texas, at least in the parts of Texas that you've been covering? I've heard some pretty horrific stories that have been going on there. And maybe you can share with us, the rest of our listeners, you know, to the extent that police misconduct is taking place.
Well, see, the thing about, you know, Texas, and particularly like East Texas where I'm working, it is a straight up police state, and folks are living, you know, under crazy a climate of oppression. Right. So in places, and you got to know something about East Texas. East Texas, it seems like, from someone who's from the outside, it seems like maybe the civil rights movement never really hit those part of the towns. Right?
What cities are out in East Texas that, or give us some idea?
Okay, we're talking about Bryan, Texas, where Texas A&M is. Hearn, Texas, was also a subject of a national storyline when, you know, 28 people got arrested, falsely arrested on the testimony of a confidential informant. Jasper, Texas, where, you know, James Byrd was drugged and hung and lynched.
You mean by the truck? The truck.
Yeah, those are all in East Texas. And then the city of Madisonville, where I'm working in, is also in East Texas. And you have like a straight up system of white supremacy, which uses the police department to further oppress folks on the ground. And then in addition to that, you have like federal narcotics task forces and also these federal agencies that are also situated in these little towns, I mean, basically operating like crazy sting operations in these communities. And so you have a system of informants, you have, you know, straight up racial oppression, you have people not having access to information, and then you have what is generally in East Texas, you know, poor people with a lack of access. And these folks are marginalized from other, you know, organizations, institutions that can provide help or provide support. So you have folks that are very in a peculiar situation of having all of these agencies, all of these forces of power, from local police departments to federal narcotic task force to the, you know, federal agencies, federal prosecutor's office, all like submerged, you know, on you know, these black poor towns of like 4,000 and 5,000 people.
Now, we're all familiar with the case that happened in Tulia, Texas, and there's been a documentary about it, and basically we saw like, I guess like half the town was arrested, and they were accused of being a part of, you know, like a drug cartel, and it was all based upon the information given by one police officer who they later found to be pretty non-credible, but he was given a lot of credit at the time, and it ruined a lot of lives. Recently, as you mentioned, there's a situation that's taking place in Hearne, Texas. We heard some of the people at this conference talking about it, but can you enlighten our listeners as to exactly what went on, and what were some of the what was some of the fallout from that?
Well, as far as Hearne, Texas, and I just want to say, first off, that most of the cities and towns in East Texas is a two-year waiting to happen. It's just that the major, the major arrest has not happened yet, but they all have the same type of conditions and situations. And so when you're talking about Hearne, Texas, what happened is that you have a DA that's notoriously racist that actually got on, in a tape deposition saying that how he uses the term nigger all the time. In his normal course of operations.
You mean it's not used as a term of endearment, no. Like so many people would like to say, when a DA uses that? Is he saying it was a N-I-G-G-A, or is he saying it an N-I-G-E-R? I mean, that's the argument that people say
right. Nowadays. Right.
But in Texas, it would sound like he's saying it with an A anyway. Am I right? You would never hear the R right. If he was pronouncing
it. That's right. It's a straight up, we use the term nigga all the time. So if you listen to the tape, man, it's crazy.
So it would sound like it was hip hop.
I'm being facetious, but I'm being very real.
Because I just wanted to make the point, because people often say that. Yeah. But that would be the place right. Where that word would not have an ER at the end. But it means something very differently for all the idiots who like to say that. But anyway.
No doubt. That's a good point, too. And so you have this DA. And so the DA manipulated this person who was mentally kind of retarded, had a history of psychological and mental problems, was a drug user, drug addict. Okay. And had a long kind of drug criminal history. And they forced him. They forced this man to name names. They wanted names of people that he smoked drugs, had drugs with or bought drugs from. And so this brother, based on the pressure that the DA and the police department and the Federal Narcotics Task Force, okay, was putting on this brother, just started naming names, okay? And one of the people, one of the names he named was a young lady named Regina Kelly, who was a mother of four children and has never had any problems in her life. She was named out of the blue, and these folks had to go through the criminal justice system based on the pressure of the police department on this unreliable informant who again had mental history problems, and he ruined the lives, of like 28 people. And it wasn't until there was something like the times that he said that he bought drugs from certain people. People were in they were at work, or they were in the hospital and stuff like that. And that's how kind of the story broke. But this man potentially ruined the lives of several different people. Yeah.
Before we go to break, one of the things I wanted to ask you, it appears that that in this situation, if I remember correctly. Because East Texas, there are these freeways that connect Houston to Dallas, so to speak, that there's been a lot of pressure to stop what they say is a large flow of drugs. And that's how a lot of this stuff takes place. Right. This is why they go to the small townships, because they think the townships are going to be the loading points. Can you explain how that?
Yeah, basically, and all these small towns in East Texas, they run along the I-45 corridor, and that's the freeway connecting Houston to Dallas, and it's considered to be a major kind of drug trafficking corridor by law enforcement. And so what they have chosen to do is basically spend a lot of money in operations focusing and concentrating on these little towns. And these are all little towns of 4,000, 5,000 people. Right. And so they are doing massive operations and massive, violations, civil rights violations, racial profiling, the whole nine to try to stop that flow of drugs. But again, these are all, if they're minor, they're drug users and drug addicts with habits, and there's no type of organized drug trafficking system and operations in these small towns. And like if you take the case of Tuya, the person that originally got convicted for Tuya as being a major kingpin, he was a pig farmer. He basically was a sharecropper that basically owned, you know, he lived on this white man's land and then ran a pig farm. And he was originally given 90 years as being the major drug trafficker of cocaine. You know what I'm saying?
So is this because these police agencies are out to get numbers, make a name for themselves, if they can get headlines by doing the sensational bust, there's some sort of other reward, maybe career advancement? Is that what's driving it? Or is it really a thing of, you know, a holdover from the Klan?
It's all of those things. You know what I mean? It's all of those things. Some of the background of some of the officers that was used in these things in East Texas, I mean, are straight out crazy. And in addition to that, you have what a lot of these narcotics task force was originally funded by this Byrne grant money. And kind of the criteria for this grant money was that you have to show the number of arrests. It's not the number of convictions, you know, on the drugs, but the number of arrests. So what they did is create operations to generate the most amount of arrests possible without worrying about the strength of the cases and whether the evidence was corroborated, whether it was on videotape or whatever. So it's an example of extremely, you know, sloppy police work mixed in with historically, you know, racist ideology, and then you also manipulating a small town and a small group of people that is isolated from a lot of the major cities and a lot of the major, you know, civil rights organizations and different types of structures that may be there to help them. And these are also very poor people. And so, like in Madisonville, you know, you actually have, like, the city attorney that works and does the business for the city, he also doubles as the court-appointed attorney for criminal defense cases, you know?
Wait, repeat that again? Did I hear you say this? Repeat that again. You're kidding, right?
Nah, and it's wild.
Say this again slowly.
Definitely. Okay, like in the city of Madisonville, the city attorney, the attorney that sits next to the, you know, the police chief and the city council person that handles the business for the city, also is used as the court-appointed attorney for defendants in criminal defense cases. I mean, in criminal cases. And so this guy is serving double duty. You know what I mean? And this is the type of system that's set up in a lot of these small towns. And so you get people that's getting, you know, tried and set up based on crazy things and straight crazy operations, and they have no money, no access to attorneys. And so they get the city attorney to defend them, and they get forced to plea because it's a straight, you know, it's a straight agreement on behalf of the city and the police department of what's going to happen. So
we're going to take a break. We've been talking with KC Carter. He's out of East Texas. We're here in Atlanta, Georgia at the Snitch Conference. We want to talk about the whole situation around snitching and why it is such an important issue and why it's something that you, along with the ACLU, have taken up. We'll be right back.